Welcome to The Watching Dead, the officially unofficial podcast for The Walking Dead on AMC, and now The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live on AMC. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And we are here to do a season one preview
just
for The
series.
Ones Who Live. Yeah, series preview. It's the whole thing. I don't think they're planning on doing a season two of this. I think this is going to be a one and done season. So yeah, the series preview. Aaron, what do you want to talk about?
There's actually quite a bit to talk about. So someone might fairly ask, why are you guys doing The Walking Dead, The One Who Lives? And there's a couple of answers. One, because we still have a large audience that not even watching the show, but they like to hear us talk about it. Two, I've always been pretty invested in Rick's story, which is now encompassed the Bea Michonne story. And I was like, that was the core thing that kept me coming back time and time again. Like, was I always came back like, you know, this is like Rick and Carl, and then now Rick and Michonne and Carl and Judith and RJ. And like, I the Grimes family is a personal interest to me, and I've always liked those characters, and I always intended to kind of follow them. And I guess another reason is that late stage Walking Dead kind of got good and interesting for a bit there. I really like what they did with seasons 9 and 10 and a lot of 11. I think they kind of stumbled, but a lot of that stumbling came, I think, at the expense because they had these spinoffs, so they couldn't kill interesting characters, and some things had to be left unfinished because Daryl had to go to France and Maggie and Negan had to go to New York, and also the kind of train wreck of it, that this is, you know, this is a show that you routinely get 20 million people watching, now struggles to get one. This was supposed to be a trilogy of big Hollywood theatrical release films, and now it's been choked down to essentially a 6-episode miniseries. And the fact that the story by credits are Scott Gimple, Andrew Lincoln, and Danai Gurira. And Danai Gurira is actually credited writer of at least one episode, if not more.
Okay.
I'm pretty intrigued. Some concern there, especially with the Scott Gimple credit on the story and all that kind of stuff. And I also looked at the rest of the writers are a collection of your usual suspects. Mr. Timon and Pumbaa and Kim Possible, our whipping boy for several seasons, is writing an episode. But I want to see what happens to Rick. You know, I kind of, this feels like, this and Dead City feels like would be wrapping up the main Walking Dead Alexandra sequence, which I didn't quite felt got wrapped up in the original series because of these goddamn spinoffs. Why are you watching this, Jim?
All right. I like ripping on The Walking Dead. It's fun.
There's that too.
That's why I do it. I came back after season 8.
Long as people still listen to it, I'll be happy to rip on The Walking Dead. And also, like, as long as it's fun. Have you seen any of the trailers of this show?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Seen them I think.
What's your impression?
I mean, the basic story they seem to be wanting to tell here is Rick and Michonne destroying yet another authoritarian regime. I feel like that might be getting played out in the Walking Dead universe, but you know, between Negan and what was the one that they destroyed at the end of The Walking Dead proper?
Oh, that was the Virginia place, the Commonwealth. Yeah,
they've done this. And this is a well they seem to be going back to time and time again. But that's like the overarching thing, right?
Yeah, they keep getting bigger and bigger. You know, Negan had dudes with baseball bats and guns. The Commonwealth had stormtroopers with jeeps. Now we got Terry O'Quinn with Apache attack helicopters and chemical attacks and stuff like that. So like they keep on working up their despotic, you know, military fascist dictatorships. Yeah. And now
the
we're
despot
here.
Despot creep. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I am curious because like the other thing I'm curious about is we sat out a vast swath of The Walking Dead. Like we noped out of what was the one
Fear
about
the Walking Dead.
Fear the Walking Dead. We never got on to Worlds Beyond, and a lot of what they're doing here with Rick and Michonne, I understand, involves the CRM, the Civilian Republic Military or whatever. It's headed up by Terry O'Quinn, Locke from Lost. Mm-hmm. And it's got Jadis, who last I knew was a trash-collecting Romulan subcommander.
Oh,
and
my God.
Turns out she's actually not insane, and she's a high-ranking officer within the CRM, and she personally recruited Rick for some plot that they have. And I guess she was a major character in season two of Worlds Beyond, so like I'm wondering how they're going to get guys like you and me, gals like in the Bald Move audience, up to speed that's just kind of noped out of all that Walking Dead plus.
Yeah, that's super important, I think, because I think there are a lot of people like us out there who noped out. They're like, we're just in it for The Walking Dead, this is the sixth spinoff of The Walking Dead.
Yes.
And it's not even the last one. They have more Tales of the Walking Dead coming out. That's the name of the seventh spinoff. And I guarantee the vast majority of the audience has not tuned in for those because they noped out seasons ago on The Walking Dead. You can see it in the numbers, the ratings.
Sure.
So, yeah, it's going to be vital for them to either catch us up to what's been happening with the Beatles Muppet, the fuck my shit up meme that is Jadis, or like the poster boy for that, or I guess just drop us in the middle of the story and the story will make sense. Like maybe they've sectioned it off in World Beyond, where what happened at the end of season two of World Beyond doesn't necessarily need to lead into this stuff.
But
a time jump there. I don't know.
And we just recently got through Daryl Dixon, and that definitely bumped up against the CRM stuff, and the new world governments are starting to form. And I felt like I jumped in there without missing too many beats. So look, I'm not putting it past AMC to make shit. Okay, obviously we've got a lot of listeners, made a fair bit of money observing that fact. However, if there's ever a time for them to get their shit together, it's now, because I think Daryl Dixon got a little bit of critical notice. They're going to have a lot of eyeballs, because I think a lot of people will come back for a 6-episode miniseries with Rick and Michonne, these two huge stars. Yeah. Like Danai Gurira is a huge star now, like even bigger than Andrew Lincoln, thanks to Black Panther and other things she's done. So like, I think there'll be a lot of eyeballs on it. And I will say that also looking at the trailers, this seems to be following the trend of Daryl Dixon, where this seems to be like premium The Walking Dead. Like they are going all out on the film stock, on the camera angles, on the special effects, on the set and settings to make this feel more cinematic than ever.
That's part of The Walking Dead that I've appreciated for years now. Like between the kind of cool drone shots that they were doing, I remember that started kind of with the Whisperer arc.
Yeah.
Out at the hilltop community. Mm-hmm. And just like, yeah, taking the cinematography more seriously.
Mm-hmm. I think, I'm just getting to the point that like, it seems like AMC is putting a fair amount of time and effort into doing this stuff. It would be really ridiculously stupid for them to go ahead and throw people off into deep end with the CRM Jadis trash compactor crap that no one's going to know or care about. Like, but it's also a tough one because, you know, what I do know of the story is Jadis said that, Brick was prime stock. He's an A car. And I think he could be useful and he's going to pay for my ticket out of here. But yet we own the trailer establishes Rick is essentially picking up trash in a CRM.
Yeah. He's become a B work at some point.
Yeah. So like, but yet within 6 episodes, he's going to be apparently personally recruited by, Terry O'Quinn is described as the major general of the CRM, for convincing Rick to go along with something that he doesn't want to do because it will change everything. And he's heading up the most. So like, how are you going to take, it was already wild that like Daryl went from trash picker upper to stormtrooper in, you know, the Commonwealth of Virginia. How are you going to take Rick from a trash picker upper to the right hand man of the supreme overlord of an organization that I think controls half the United States now?
Yeah,
that's and also get Michonne back into the mix.
Mm-hmm.
And also have them reunite against and take this thing down, maybe, or kick it into another gear of The Walking Dead. So I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me if 4 or 5 million people tuned in to this premiere, and they're going to have those eyeballs for as long as they can keep them. I hope that they've actually put in the fucking work on the script to make it all worth it.
I know Jadis was a big part of season 2 of The World Beyond, so mm-hmm. she has a backstory that we're not privy to, and not just like I don't mean like a backstory from long ago. I mean, there's stuff that happened between the last time we saw her and now when we'll see her again in World Beyond that they might need to clue us into.
The other thing that's tantalizing, I just checked the Rotten Tomatoes score on this show. It's at 92% right now. And it's not so like some of the later stage Walking Dead stuff has gotten some fairly high reviews. But if you look at it, it's a bunch of nobody, you know, from like I don't know, Fangoria stuff, like, you know, like not the top
nobody's at Fangoria. Oh man,
sorry, didn't mean
a lot
to
of horror
on.
Fans
I haven't read Fangoria since I was like 14. Okay,
all right.
Starlog, that kind of stuff. But it's got 92% on Rotten Tomatoes, and there's like 4 or 5 of like their top critics with reviews. Nice. That say, I mean, everyone says that the star power of Andrew Lincoln and Danai Gurira. Like, it seems like the common line is like, this is pretty pedestrian The Walking Dead, but it's elevated by their star power. And then I've seen some people say that it is actually a notch above The Walking Dead, elevated by their star power. And I don't know. I'm really curious to see what the Gurira and the Lincoln and the Gimple, can cook up.
This is the thing with Rotten Tomatoes scores. You have to remember, all it has to be is not actively bad, and it gets a fresh rating from that review, right? So if 92% of the people think it is not actively bad, it could still be very mediocre. Mediocre.
But that would be still a vast improvement over quite a few seasons of The Walking Dead. So
true. Yeah. And anything with Jadis being very mediocre would be a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, I am very curious to see. I mean, like I said, I missed a season's worth of her character development, but they're going to want me to take her serious right away. And I need
with her Muppet version of a Beatles haircut.
They're going to have to spend some time with that. So,
yeah,
we will see. I am interested. Also, Michonne, it's got that crazy looking samurai outfit. She's always kind of had that aesthetic, but now it's like full on. I forget
it's
what
like
that
a
bamboo
beekeeper
armor
suit
and,
to me is what it looks like.
Or it looks like a kendo fencing outfit to me.
Yeah, that's absolutely what it looks like.
So maybe the smart zombies are picking up wooden swords.
Could be. I'm interested. Will they do anything more with smart zombies? Because we saw Daryl Dixon stuff. That seems to be the Walking Dead universe's thing now. Smart zombies.
My question, zombies with special powers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. My question is, just like we saw Carol show up at the end of Daryl, do you think Daryl will show up at the end of Rick and Michonne, or do you think he's still going to be?
I don't think so.
Stuck in France, because that's the thing. It's like they can't do that.
Yeah.
Without stepping on the Carol and Daryl thing that they're doing.
Uh huh. I don't think I don't know what the timing of this show is going to be. Maybe it's in the future after a season 2 of Daryl Dixon or a Carol and Daryl spinoff has happened. I don't know, but it doesn't seem like they really can with the state of things.
All right.
Speaking of the state of things, people who maybe didn't watch all the way to the end of The Walking Dead, because there's some big information about Rick. Maybe if you tuned out after season 9, after Rick left, he just kind of disappeared there, but we find out sort of at the end that he has been at some place. He's got this jacket with some symbols on it, which we find out are the CRM symbols. He's on the banks of a river barefoot. He's clearly been running from these people who show up in a helicopter and they say, "We gotcha. You're under arrest again." So he escaped their clutches at one point, but now he's back in custody of the CRM.
I wonder if that's why he's picking up trash. Like, this is his, like, he's on
punishment.
Some kind of prison work detail, but he's still recognized as a badass, which is why he's kind of like Snake Plissken. You know, he's going to pull him out of prison to do a dangerous mission or something like that. And
totally.
Yeah.
Could be. And then Michonne was out looking for him. Michonne left a couple years later, 5 years later or something, to go look for him.
The last we saw her is she was following this wagon train out west. This huge train of like these giant wagons and people and like, you know, just like following on foot, this massive migration of people heading somewhere. Mm-hmm. And she's kind of got wrapped up into there. So, yeah, I'm curious to see. And
Based on the trailer, it seems like she's going to team up with some people who do have kind of a wagon. So maybe there's some fruit
I did see
that's going to bear out from that.
Yeah. It'd be weird if they just never, you know, that she just walks on as like she's just been wandering.
Yeah, maybe there'll be two timelines here. I don't know. Let me ask you one more question. Take your temperature on this. Do you think this will finally be the series where Heath returns and PPP means something?
I had the same joke. I felt like I read something where they are thinking of doing something with that at some point. So yeah, I mean.
Sure. It's better than leaving it just a complete loose end.
Is it? You know, I don't know. I'm ready to let
it go. Depending on what they do with it.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Yeah, fair.
It just comes back with like the PPP card and like, hey guys, what is this pickle? This is some kind of Peter's Pickled Peppers reference. I don't know. That wouldn't be good.
Yeah, we'll see.
Don't shamble off. We'll be right back after the break.
Here's what's new in premium content for our club members.
This Tuesday, we're back off the clock with a new premium podcast covering our experiences with the new Amazon series Fallout, Alex Garland's Civil War, as well as some thoughts on X-Men 97.
Then on Friday, The Old Reliable, Lunch with Jim and Aaron. Join us in the Munch crowd to watch us record live at 1 p.m. Eastern or check out the podcast later that day.
If you want more Bald Move in your life, head over to support.baldmove.com to find out how you can get tons of bonus audio and video content, plus ad-free feeds.
Commission podcasts are an awesome feature here at Bald Move that allows you, the individual listener, to decide what we talk about for a single podcast.
The community loves it because it often leads to fun, fan-favorite films and TV shows that we've overlooked getting the coverage they deserve.
And we love it because we're constantly exposed to great stuff that's not even on our radar.
The way it works is simple. You go to support.baldmove.com and you click on commissions. Then you pay the flat rate for the commission and tell us what two-ish hours of content you'd like us to make podcasts on.
Then we'll contact you for details, advanced feedback, and any dedications you'd like to make.
Then we watch the thing, discuss the thing, turn it into a podcast, and pump it right into your ears.
We get consistently great feedback on how much our commissioners love their podcast, and they make great gifts for the dedicated Bald Move fan in your life.
And who knows, that dedicated fan could even be you. Treat yourself. Check out support.baldmove.com for more info.
Welcome back, survivors. Here's even more of The Walking Dead.
Well, if you want to send us your thoughts on the series, I guess that's the other thing is like this thing, my understanding is going to premiere on Sunday nights and we'll do the typical Tuesday afternoon podcast on it. If you'd like to get your email in to help us rip on The Walking Dead or root for its success or comment on the latest episode, whatever, twd@baldmove.com is where you want to send that. If you want to follow along with the other things that we do and stay abreast of all the Bald Move news, any social media at Bald Move is your best bet for that. And if you'd like to get access to ad-free feeds as well as extra bonus content, for example, I think this week, the week you're hearing this, we'll have a off-the-clock episode covering Blue-Eyed Samurai and as well as the upcoming Apple TV Plus science fiction show Constellation. It's Constellation, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's exclusively for club members. Go to support.baldmove.com to chip in, help us keep casting pods, and get some nice stuff for yourself, including ad-free feeds. That's going to do it for our preview episode of The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live, a.k.a. Rick and Michonne. I actually am kind of excited. I like covering The Walking Dead. I had a lot of fun with Daryl Dixon. I have a lot of fun with the community. I think it's going to be a good time. Win, lose, or draw. We're going to win on the podcast, let me tell you. We'll see you after Sunday night. We'll see you on Tuesday. Until then, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Jim.
Later.